Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, if you noticed on the very first page, this is Gaudent Sunday, the day of joy in the church. And today we are celebrating the lighting of the shepherd's candle. Well, why the shepherd's candle? Well, part of the thing is, since this story deals so much with the shepherds and the message they receive from the angels, it's important. And if you notice, the readings are full of the word joy, aren't they? If this were really a normal church, we have a special color for this day. The only day that in the entire church year, today's color is pink. So, if you grew up in a Catholic church, today is the day the priest wears a pink stole or a cassock. Not an alb. It's the what goes over. No, it's not the stole. It's the big thing. Anyway, if he has it on pink, that's today. And the paramounts on the altar would be pink too. Why the special emphasis on pink? There's a good question, isn't it? Well, it's not that. It's the emphasis on joy. All right. The biblical definition of joy is a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that comes from God and His presence, His work, and His work in our lives. Well, if that's joy, what is happiness? What makes you happy? Okay, let's say that you got a really nice gift. It makes you happy. Or if you're a child, you got a neat toy. That makes you happy. And if you really like it, you love it. I got my new toy. And if it breaks, you usually see tears and that kind of thing, right? So what is the difference? Well, there's a big difference between happiness and joy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, be joyful always. So I really think that difference between joy and happiness is a lot of substantial facts. We often feel that feeling of happiness, giddy laughter, and contentment in the comforts of life is akin to the joy we feel in Jesus. Okay? When we say the word happiness, what other word is in there? Happen. All right, so is the word happen internal or is it external? It's external. So something has to happen to you to bring happiness to you. So happiness is a reaction to something great in your life. Joy is the product of someone great. Okay, see where the difference is in this? Okay, what happened when we fully feel joy? It comes from God. Jesus died to erase guilt and shame, right? To save us on that cross. But what else did he die for? Who else comes into our lives because of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Okay, when we look at what is going on in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5 talks about living in the Spirit versus living in the flesh. If we're in the flesh, are we in happiness or joy? Happiness. If we're in the Spirit, what are we in? Joy. Okay. Joy, as we look at it, as we define it here today, is rooted in the character and the promises of God. So is joy something we create, or is it something that's given to us by God? Given to us. And how does God give them to us? Through whom? And Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Happiness is when our sense of joy comes from anything other than the beauty and wonder of Christ. So joy and elation are still there, but the source is different. Do you understand that? One comes from something happening to us from the outside. The other one is a gift from God to us through Jesus Christ. And I think when you look at that, there's a big distinction there. So what is joy? I really think joy is that deep soul-level happiness. Soul-level happiness. That is a result of beholding by the faith the beauty and wonders of Christ. I read that in the Bible dictionary and I thought, geez, what a beautiful sentence. Let me do that again. Joy is the deep soul-level happiness that is a result of beholding by faith. Where does faith come from? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, the beauty and wonders of Christ. It's rooted in Jesus. Not in something from external sources, but from Jesus working inside of us. It cannot be easily displaced then by external things. A Christian can have a deep and lasting joy in some of life's most disturbing events. Let me say that one again. You can have a deep and lasting joy in some of life's most disturbing events. All right, we're going to have a picnic. It's raining. Oh, we can't have our picnic. Oh, it's just awful. Is that happiness or joy? Well, that's part of happiness. It's raining. Let's go out and dance in the rain. Let's celebrate the rain. There's joy. You starting to see the difference? It's taking whatever comes to you and enjoying it. You know, when we look at the word joy, enjoying it, rejoice. Look how much we use that word. You know, it's the object. All right, so if we look, one of the turtles into the school, we have a direct object, yes? All you former teachers in here. And if you had kids, you're a teacher. Okay? So, direct object. What's the direct object in happiness? Something out there. What's the direct object in joy? Something in here. Okay? So, that object of happiness is a favorable, temporary, external factor. In other words, it's short-lived, it's ephemeral, it's out there, it makes you happy, and then what happens? Walks away, doesn't it? Happiness leaves. It means happiness comes and goes. Got another one for you. Happiness is based on what's happening. Gee, happiness happening, okay? But joy is based on what we believe. Bev and I talked this morning about what is faith? It's a belief in things unseen. So what we believe, we don't necessarily have to see, do we? We have to experience it. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And that finishes up. And once we experience it, where does that spark and fire come from? The spirit. It comes from within. Joy is a kind of happiness that does not depend on what happenings or what happens. Let me repeat that one because I screwed it up. Joy is a kind of happiness that does not depend on what happens. So joy then is a step beyond happiness. Happiness is an atmosphere you can live in sometimes. Okay? When you're lucky. But joy is a light that fills you with hope and faith and love. Now, I mentioned Galatians 5, didn't I? I'm going to start with 5, verse 16, and read you what Paul writes about this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh is rated in happiness. So you do something that you know you're not supposed to, you get a joy from it. Ooh, boy, that was joyful. Oh, that was fun. But does it last? No. Okay? That's why you need constant reinforcement of that. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. You got a battle going on there, don't you? Okay? And we all fight that battle. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Well, now, wait a second. To keep you from doing the things you want to do, why would that happen? Because the word in there should be should do. You with me on that? Oh, boy, I want to do that. Is it good for you? Oh, I don't care. I'm just going to do it. Isn't that the same reason that people get hooked on drugs? Okay. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gee, Paul, how do you really feel? Don't hold back. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, and peace. The very first three, peace, joy, love. Why do you think they came up with that? And why in Advent do we celebrate joy, love, peace, and hope? Is this a time of tearing down or building up? It's building up. You know, you got to remember, we're preparing for judgment. Do we have to worry about judgment? No. We're already saved. Okay? But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that do have to worry about that. Let's keep on going. So, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. You can't be in the law and in those. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Pretty good sermon by somebody who died 2,000 years ago, isn't it? You know, the message of the Bible is eternal. We had a real big discussion one time at the seminary. What happens if there's aliens and they actually come down? Do we share the good news of Jesus Christ with them? There's people to say, but they're not in the likeness of God, so we don't do that. No, because we always picture God as an old man sitting on the throne. Okay? Gene. If truth is truth, truth is truth for everyone. You agree? You know, we really got into a heated discussion that day because some of my brothers and sisters said, this is not for them. Well, I don't know. As Gene just said, that's an awful big universe out there, isn't it? So when we look at things like joy, is it a universal truth? Yes. Universal truth. It's for the universe true, because the truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. My friends, today is that day of joy, that celebration of what was brought to us through the faith that was given to us by the Holy Spirit on the day of our baptism. It entered our heart. Now, some of us fight it, but some of us allow that to flourish. And when you turn yourself over to God, you are so blessed. Gene.
We're supposed to get sweat through our bodies, right?
Yes.
And so isn't that part of the universe?
Everything is part of the universe. There are so many things I have questions about in the Bible. I'm getting off on it, but I think it says second and third heaven. What in the heck is the second and third heaven? It's in there. But it's those kind of things, like when I was talking to Dr. Meyer at the seminary, because I don't buy the idea of a young earth where everything was just created 4,000 years ago, but they put all the fossils in it so that it appeared to be. Now, that's a stretch. If it is that old, we're limiting God. Okay, God is unlimitable. And so I went and talked to Dr. Meyer. I said, I can't buy that. He said, do you believe, I'll come over here to the cross, that Jesus died on that cross to save you from your sins and for eternal salvation? No, I said, yes. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. He said, good, we're in agreement. Keep a list of things you want to ask the boss about when you get to heaven. He says, I got a long one. You know, I'm not one to say that I understand everything in the Bible, because the more I learn, the more I find I don't know. But I study all the time. And it all starts with reading the Bible.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
And salvation. That's right. And remember, Pastor Don gave you that challenge to read the Bible. How many of you are reading the Bible? Okay. Not just on Christmas. Well, I was bringing my sermon to a close. But folks, you know, we're in the season of joy. And that's a gift that none of us can turn down. And may this joy keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.